Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the brand new Masechta Kesubos, which we start with Daf Beis. Kesubos is a wonderful Masechta that follows Yevamos in the Seder of Noshim. And today's share, Daf Beis, is being learned L'ilu Nishmas Isaac Betensky, Yitzchak ben Shimshon. All the Shons we learn for Shev and Aliyah from our learning. We invite people to join the Daf Yomi as we start Kesubos and to tell people, if you like to share, about the share, to have more people learn Torah, L'hagdil Torah L'adir. The Mishnah starts, Daf Beis Omer Aleph, the very top. Besula, a woman who has never previously been married, she's a virgin. Niseis Liyom Harvi, her typical marriage is on Yom Revi, on Wednesday. Tosos in Dira Masu Liyom Revi says, Velo Belel Chamishi, we're not talking here about Thursday in Halacha, meaning Wednesday night after the Shkia, but Tosos says, Velo Lel Chamishi, we're talking about Wednesday afternoon. Kidama Perk Basu de Nida, the Lekka Ksuba de Larbu Batigra, because a famous statement that we have in the Mora Nida and in other places as well is that there is no such thing as a Ksuba not having some sorts of difficulties with it. In other words, the wedding has certain built-in tendencies to it that could lead to fighting. And if you were to go and have the wedding on Wednesday night, meaning Thursday in Halacha, it may be, Tosu says, that the wedding won't go off on time. And Kol Shekeinim Yasin Yisum Belel, hey, if they're going to make it on the night of Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, the Ikal Amecha Shiitari Bin Yisuin Uksuva Velo Yivo. They'll be so busy somehow with all the difficulties of the wedding itself and the actual marriage and the Ksuba, and therefore they won't end up having the relations on Wednesday night. Meaning that the reason for having the wedding on Wednesday won't be applicable, as we'll learn in a moment, because the Beis Din meets on Thursday, and Rachmana Litzlan, the husband finds that his wife is out of Besula, so in the Shas Kaso, when he's very upset that this occurred, as we'll see in a moment, so we want to be able to go to the Beis Din on Thursday, but if they don't get consummating the marriage until Thursday already, so then we'll have a problem that the whole purpose of having the Nisun on Yom Revi won't be applicable. In any event, the Mishnah tells us that a Besula, a woman who's never been married before, she's a Besula, she's getting married on Wednesday in the afternoon, and this way they'll be able to have the relations on Wednesday night, which is Thursday in Halacha, and they will go and Chas v'Shalom, if there's a problem, go to the Beis Din on Thursday. And Almana, where this doesn't apply, Leom Chamishi, she can get married on Thursday. The Gemara will explain later on why the Almana gets married on Thursday. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Shepamayim b'Shabbos bote didin yoshvin b'yaros, that Ezra set up, as Rashi explains in Dira Masur Shepayim b'Shabbos, Abesula koi, this is referring to the Psula, why we have her getting married on Wednesday in the afternoon, on Yom Revi'i. So it tells us, B'sheni v'chamishi in Dibra Maschul, in Rashi, says this was one of the Eser Takono Shetikin Ezra in Baba Kama, Perek Meruba. And it tells us there that Tiknu Shetinase B'Revi'i, the Chazal set up that the wedding should be on Wednesday, Shimhoyu Lo Tanas Besulim, if he found that his wife wasn't a Besula, when he gets up on Thursday morning, Yashkim LeBeisin, he'll run with alacrity to the Beis Din, Ba'od Kasulov, while he's still very upset that he thought he was marrying a Besula, and she wasn't. V'im Yeshoz Beintayim, but if there's a long wait in between the time when he has relations with her for the first time, and when the Beis Din meets, we have to be concerned, Shema Yispayes, he's going to be appeased by her, for Tiskarer Daito, and okay, he'll accept the fact that she wasn't a Besula, the Kaimena, and he will stay with her. Now, wouldn't be such a terrible thing if she didn't commit adultery. But here we have to be concerned. V'shema he zinsa tachtov, when she was asura to any man. It was after the first stage of marriage, the kiddushin. They used to wait up to a year between the kiddushin, the first stage of marriage. Kiddushin and erusin is the name that we give to the first stage of marriage. They're interchangeable. And the second stage of marriage is nisuin. And today we do them both together. But in the times of the Gemara, they would separate them by a year for a besula. And therefore, if she was mezana during this period of time, after the kiddushin, before the nisuin, she was an eishes ish. And therefore, she would be also to live with her husband. And therefore, as the Gemara in Sota tells us, if she was closeted away with somebody and she, in fact, had adultery during this period of time, so if they go to the Beis Din on Thursday and he claims that she wasn't a Basula, maybe witnesses will come out of the woodwork. Because she hits that call. Oh, everybody's going to talk about what happened. And in this situation, she will be also to go and live with her husband. So that's why it's critically important that this be done, b'shas kaso, while he's upset, and therefore, if there's a long period of time between when he consummates the marriage and when the Beis Din meets, we would have a problem. Since the Beis Din meets on Thursday, get married Wednesday in the afternoon, have the relations on Wednesday night, and then, if there's rachmana l'shel olam, a problem, they go to the Beis Din on Thursday morning. Now, this doesn't explain, which the Gemara will have to, why we don't allow marriages to be on Sunday, because the same exact thing could happen. You get married Sunday afternoon, you have relations on Sunday night, and then if there's Rachman al Sana problem, you go to the Beis Din, which meets on Monday. As Ezra was Masakin, they would meet twice a week, Shepamayim b'Shabbos, on Mondays and Thursdays. That's when the Beis Din would meet. So therefore, in this situation, we'll have to explain why Beis Din was Masakin to get married on Wednesday and not on Sunday. So let's read the last part of the Mishnah again. Shavamayim b'Shabbos bati din yoshim b'yaros. The Beis Din would set up b'yom sheni or b'yom chamishi on Mondays and on Thursdays. She'im hayu lo tainas besulim. If he were to claim that his wife wasn't a besula, hayam mashkin le'Beis Din. In his anger, he'll immediately go to the Beis Din, and therefore, if there is Rachman al-Islan, witnesses to the adultery, they'll come out and hear about this and testify. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, "I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yosef said, 'I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and say the name of Shmuel.' Mipnei ma amru besula nises liom Rabbi. Why did the Chazal tell us that a besula should get married on Wednesday? Now this is a very strange question because a Mishnah says why. A Mishnah says Shemoyel lo tainas besulim hayimashal lebeistin. So what Rabbi Yosef is really asking over here is why not Sunday? Why did only they masakin Wednesday and not Sunday? So that's really what he's asking. Now." He brings down a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. The Mishnah is found on Daf Nun Zayin, Omad Aleph, and it says over there, Lefi Shoshoninu, Higiyaz Ma'an Velo Nisu. As I mentioned, the Kiddushin was often separated by up to a year for a Besula to give her a chance to put together all the household needs that she would need for setting up a household. So they would wait a year between the first stage of marriage, which is a full halach marriage. She's an Ashes Ish, but she's not allowed to yet live with her husband, but she's certainly also to live with anybody else. And if she does, she's committing adultery and is a chiyuv of Misa on both her and the Boel. So in this situation, we wait that year period of time until she goes and completes the marriage and consummates the marriage. But if after the year comes, he gives man, below Nisu, and he doesn't marry her, the marriage doesn't occur yet, so at this point in time, we consider the husband, because you have to now complete the marriage and take the second stage of marriage and consummate the marriage with chuppah. So in this situation, Ochlos Bishlo, she now is entitled to be supported by him and to be eating from his food. Until now, she was eating still in her father's house. But now, after the year has passed and she still hasn't had the second stage of marriage, so she's entitled to be supported by her husband. And if her husband is a Kohen, the Ochlos with Truma, we even allow her to eat Truma at this point in time. Midya Raisa, she technically could eat Truma as soon as the first stage of marriage was what the rabbi said. It's going to be a Takola. She's going to bring home the Truma to her house where she lives, and maybe her brothers or her family will eat it, and that would be a Takola because they're not allowed to eat Truma. But at this point in time, we aren't concerned about that, and she's even allowed to eat Truma if her husband is a Kohen. Now, if the 12 months are up and it's on Sunday, you might have thought that if this occurs, that he should be obligated to give him his onus right on that Sunday. So the Mishnah on Nun Zayin Omid Aleph tells us, that's why Rav Yosef said that we wait until Wednesday to obligate the husband in the mizonos only until Wednesday. We don't make him start paying the mizonos, even though the 12 months are up, and he should have gotten married to her, but we don't let him get married on Sunday, we make him wait till Wednesday. So that's what Riosi said is the answer to our question, which of course doesn't answer the question. Our question was, why not on Sunday? And all this Mishnah does is tell us that we don't get married on Sunday. So the obvious question the Gemara now asks, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef tells us, Mari de Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of Avram, what's going on over here? It's like a lashon of astounding. Tole Tanya b'dilo Tanya. You're explaining our Mishnah with something that's not a Mishnah. Doesn't make any sense. Or it says, what do you mean? You're explaining our Mishnah without something that's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah on the Zayin, just like ours is a Mishnah over here. Hi Tanya, b'dilo Tanya. That's not a Mishnah. Ours is a Mishnah. That's not a Mishnah. Hotanya v'hotanya. Ours is a Mishnah and that's a Mishnah. So he says, no. Ella, Tali Tanya, the Mefarish Taima, the Tanya, the Loma Mefarish Taima. Our Mishnah explains why we specifically get married on Wednesday. And you're using that Mishnah over there on Nun Zayin to teach us that we don't get married on Sunday. But it doesn't explain why. So therefore, Rav Yosef says as follows. If there was a statement that Rav Yehuda had made in the name of Shmuel, this is what it was. Ella Itmar, if Rav Yehuda had made a statement in the name of Shmuel, Hachi Itmar, this is what Shmuel was telling us. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Mipnei ma amru besula nises liom revi. Why does a besula get married on Wednesday? Shimoya lo tainas besulim hoya mashkin lebeistin. In case, as we pointed out, they were Rachmon al-Islan, he didn't find the besulim, so he would be angry. He would immediately go to the basin on Thursday. Nu, V'sinase b'yachav b'shabbos, for the same reason, and let her get married on Sunday afternoon. Shemoy lo tainis besulim, and if he doesn't find the besul on Sunday night, hayam mashma beis din on Monday. So you go to the beis din on Monday. So the answer is, why did the rabbis not arrange that you can get married on Sunday? Just like they said you can get married on Wednesday, is because shaktu chachamim al takanas b'nos Yisrael. Now Rashi here doesn't really explain what shaktu is, but Rashi on Yirmiyah explains as follows, and he says, Mimaher uminachem chaveiro. It's somebody who does with alacrity to comfort his friend. And he says, it's a loshon of shmira, waiting, desirous to do something. Loshon lishkod al dal sosai, waiting with bated breath, with alacrity to do something, really desiring to do something. That's what shoktu means. So the chachamim were very desirous over here. Shoktu chachamim al takonas b'nos Yisrael. They were very desirous to make sure that the b'nos Yisrael had proper weddings. That we wanted the husband to go and prepare a wonderful week of wedding su'udos, the sheva brachos, and the wedding with great fanfare. And therefore, echod b'shabbos, he would go on Sunday, and v'sheni b'shabbos on Monday, u'shlish b'shabbos on Tuesday, preparing the whole suda of the wedding and the sheva brachos, and then on Wednesday, when everything was prepared, he spent 3 full days preparing for this great event, so then they would be all set and they could get married on Wednesday. However, if you were to say they could get married on Sunday, so with Shabbos there beforehand, you're not going to really do much preparing. So quickly, Saturday night and Sunday morning, you're preparing. That's not a good idea. So therefore, they were so concerned about the Bas Yisrael, the Benos Yisrael, having a proper wedding and a proper Sheva Brachos week. So therefore, they said, don't get married on Sunday, get married on Wednesday. So that's the reason why Rav Yosef says, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that we only get married on Wednesday and not on Sunday. Now the Gemara continues, now that we learned this idea about Shoktu, that we want to make sure that the Benos Yisrael have a proper wedding week, so also Shoshaninu, that which we learned on Daf Nun Zayin, Higiyaz Man below Nisu, if the year passed and the person, the husband, didn't go and take the wife into the second stage of marriage, the full stage of Nisuin, so then, at that point in time, Ochlos Mishalo, V'Ochlos B'Truma, she's allowed to be supported by him, and if he's a Kohen, she can even eat Truma. Higiyaz Man B'Yachal B'Shabbos, and if the 12 months are up on Sunday, it's not his fault that he can't get married on that Sunday. He has to wait till Wednesday. So therefore, he doesn't have to go and support her until Wednesday. So that's what the Mishnah on Nazayin is used to explain our Mishnah over here, why we don't get married on Sunday. That is what Rav Yosef said. Now, lefikach, therefore, Rav Yosef added further, if there's any other extenuating circumstances, just like there's an extenuating circumstance here that you're not allowed to get married on Sunday because of shoktu, so therefore we don't allow you to get married until Wednesday. He's not required to support it till Wednesday. If there's any other circumstance that doesn't allow him to get married at that point in time, even though the 12 months are up, such as lefikach, cholahu, if he got sick, and that's why he can't marry her. Osha cholsi, or she got sick, or osha pierced a nida, or she became a nida, and he didn't want to have a chuppah snida. So then, ain mala lo mizonos, and he's not obligated to go and give him mizonos. That is what Rav Yosef learns from this din. Just like if there's a takana that doesn't allow him to get married on that Sunday, and therefore he's not obligated to support her till Wednesday, so too if there's any other circumstance that doesn't allow him to get married, whether it's his doing or her doing, but it's some event, such as she got sick, he got sick, so then you're not going to be obligated to pay her mizonos. That is what Rav Yosef paskins. However, not everybody agrees with this. Because there are those, they ask this as a question. What Rav Yosef took as a given, they asked as a question. They said, what happens if cholahu, mahu, if the husband got sick, and he's now the cause of why they can't get married, because he's not feeling well, he's in the hospital, so how do we paskin when he's sick and they can't get married, is he obligated to support or not? Do we say that in the situation of where the year ended up on a Sunday and he's not allowed to get married because of the takana, so that's outside his control, hasam time am I, in that situation when they're supposed to get married on Sunday, but the rabbi said, don't get married on Sunday, get married on Wednesday, so mishum donis, so he has no choice. He's forced to not get married on that Sunday, so therefore he doesn't have to support her until Wednesday. That's what we just learned. So too over here, when he's sick, vachanami, ha'onis, it's against his control. He's sick, so he can't get married, so he shouldn't have to support her. That's one side of the coin. Odilma, do we say, hasam onis betakanta, the takinu l'rebana. There was a takana that the rabbi set up, and that's why he's not obligated to support her. But here, hacha, he's sick, so it's his own fault, so to say. Lo, there wouldn't be no get out of jail card free, that he doesn't have to support her. He's sick. He's the cause why they're not getting married. And therefore, he has to support her. Even though, again, he's sick, but it's his own fault. So therefore, he has to support her. That's the question. Rabbi Yossi took this as a given that, no, he doesn't have to support her if he gets sick. Others ask this as a question. Now, if you want to say, Vim Timsil Omar Cholohu, if it's he that gets sick, so Malam is honest, then he does have to pay because, after all, it's his fault, so to say. So what happens if it's Cholso he? If she's the one that gets sick, so it's not his fault. He says, I'm ready to get married, but she's not capable of getting married because she's in the hospital. Mal, what would be that locha? Do we say, Motzi Omar Lo, he can say to her, Ana ho kaimna, I'm here, I'm ready, and you're the one that's stopping us, so I'm not going to support you? Or do we say, Odilma, no, Motzi Omar Lo, she can have the right to say to him, the reason why I'm sick is because nistabkhwa sodeyu, that your field, so to say, got flooded with water. In other words, I'm yours. And therefore, if something happens to me, it's on your watch. It's your bad mazel, so to say. And therefore, you're responsible, even though I'm the cause, but I'm married to you. And now it's your problem. It's your fault, so to say, even though it's me that gets sick. So those are the two sides of the coin. And then, the Gemara again continues. If you want to say, and Amalei Nistachva Sodeyu, that in fact she could give this taina and says, listen, I'm already married to you, it's 12 months, so anything that bad happens, it's under your watch, so to say, and you have to support me no matter what. What about a Pirsa Nida Mahu? What happens if she becomes a Nida? Now, here the Gemara explains further. Bishas Vesta, if she became a Nida at the time she was expected to, at the normal time of her period, and that's why they're not getting married now. Zen Loti Bailach, don't even ask the question, because obviously you can't hold them accountable for something that's totally under her control, so to say. As we turn to Beis on the Beis, Umotsu Amulei Nistachla Sadeu. She can't say to him, it's your fault, it's under your domain. No, this is something that they should have controlled for, they should have known about. Woman has a regular period, so she has a normal vest, so then you can account for that, and therefore she can't ask him to support her because she's the one that totally caused this. However, the question the Gemara is asking is, Kiti Boy Lo Shelo B'Shas Vesta, if she has Pirsa Nida when it wasn't at the right time. So the two sides of the coin are as follows. Mai, do we say, Kiva on the Lo B'Shas Vesta, Havya, this is not at her regular time, and therefore she can say to him, Motza Omrele, she has the right to say to him, Nistachpa Sodehu. In fact, your domain is what caused this problem, it's your mazel, and therefore you have to support me. Or alternatively, the other side of the coin, Odilma, even the Ikonoshe, since it is very common amongst women, the Komishanya Vestayu, that they constantly have irregular periods. It's not the norm for a woman to have every 29 days like clockwork, that boom, her period comes every 29 days. Most women have some sort of a variation in cycle. So many women have irregular periods, and therefore it could be considered Kishas Vesta Domi, and therefore she's held accountable. So that's the Gemara's question, and Poshit Rav Achai. So Rav Achai answers it. Tosos in Poshit Rav Achai says that the Rashbam says that this is Rav Achai Gon, who is one of the Gaonim, who came after the period of the Amoraim, but Tosos himself says that, no, this is one of the Amoraim, Rav Achai. In any event, Rav Achai answers the question as follows. He says, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Zayin with Allah says, he gives Mavalo Nisu. Look at the Lashon over there. It says that the time came, the 12 months are up, and he didn't marry her. The lo nisu, they weren't married. It doesn't say the lo nosu, that he didn't marry. It says they weren't married, implying for any reason. So then, ochlos mishalov, ochlos mitruma. So then she has the right to go and be fed by him. He's obligated to go and feed her. And he's allowed to go and give her truma. She's allowed to eat the truma at that point in time. Now, it said the lo nisu, they weren't married. It didn't say lo nosu, lo ktani. It didn't say he didn't marry her. In other words, he said that they were not married, implying for any reason. And therefore, elo lo nisu, hechi domi, what would be the circumstances where they weren't married for any reason? It can't be either koma akbun inhi, if she was the one that was specifically not allowing them to get married, then certainly we can't fault him. Am I ochlos mishalov, ochlos betruma? If she said, no, I don't want to get married yet, I don't want to get married yet, so then we certainly wouldn't obligate him to support her, both with food and or letting her eat truma. Ella, what must it be? Ella lab, the itnis ki I got. It must have been some sort of an onus over here, which was outside of her control, outside of his control, and nevertheless, v'ketani ochlos mishalov, v'ochlos mitruma. So Rav Achai says, in this situation, the onus is on his term and his responsibility, and therefore, he has to go and support her if it's an onus. So Rav Achai is posketing that if there is an onus, it doesn't make any difference. the man is obligated still to support the woman, even though there is an onus over here. It's not like the Takana of the Rabbanim, where we say he doesn't have to go pay. Rav Achai says, no, he would have to pay. However, Rav Ashi doesn't accept this. So I'm a Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, no. In fact, any reason that there's not able to get married is enough to make him not obligated, the husband not obligated to support his wife at that point in time. I, when he's the one that is not getting married, he's the one that's holding off the marriage, so that's the only time that he has to go and support her. And technically, the Mishnah Nun Zayin should have said lo nosu instead of lo nisu. Tosus points out that there are no dots in the Gemara, so they had traditions as to how to pronounce this. So the word nisu could be spelled the same way as nosu. The yud in nisu is only put there for us to know that that's what it's supposed to be pronounced. But you could pronounce the word nisu with the spelling of nosu. So Tosus points out that they had a tradition as to how the word was pronounced, and the tradition was that it was lo nisu. Why didn't they write lo nosu? So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi would say, but I did the Tana Resha, but did he? Since the Mishnah starts off on Masechta with saying that the woman is given 12 months, Bisula Nisais Liyom Revi, so therefore, since it starts off in that way, talking about the woman, so Tana Nami Sefer Bidid he. So it implies at the end, Lo Nisu, even by her as well. But in fact, Rav Ashi says that the halacha is, if there is an onus, so then the husband is not obligated to support her until the onus goes away. So, Rav Achai says that, in fact, if there's an onus, the husband's still obligated to support his wife. However, both Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi, they say that, in fact, if there's an onus, the husband doesn't yet have to support his wife, just like the Takana in our Mishnah that says you have to get married on Wednesday, so if the 12 months end on a Sunday, he's not required to support her till the Wednesday. Amar Rava, Rava says, based upon this din of Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi, le'inyan gitin ain't okay, that while we take into account the onset and don't require the husband to support his wife until they actually have the full second stage of marriage, the nisuin, but Rava says that's not true by gittin. Now, what does he mean it's not true by gittin? Alma, kesava Rava ain't ones begittin. In regards to a get, if you give a get on a tanai and something by accident causes you not to fulfill the tanai, and therefore, in that situation, the get would not be chal, so if the Tanai is not fulfilled because of an ones, we ignore that. Ulinyan gittin ain't okay. We don't allow a ones to be mevatel the Tanai, even though the Tanai is not fulfilled. So, bottom line is, the Tanai is not fulfilled. We don't say it wasn't fulfilled because of an ones. That's what Rava tells us. Alma kesava Rava ain't ones begittin. We don't say that there was an accident, some ones, some extenuating circumstance that would nullify the condition that was on the get. And the Gemara will give us this example. Husband says, I'm divorcing you if I don't come home in 12 months' time. Meaning that this get is not valid if I do come back within 12 months' time. And then he doesn't come back within 12 months' time, so then the get is valid. What happens if he doesn't come back, but it's because of some unavoidable circumstance that he could not control? He wanted to come back, but something prevented him from coming back. In that situation, Rav is saying, we don't take into account the fact that there was some extenuating circumstances, some unavoidable factor that prevented him from coming back. We say, he didn't come back, therefore, the get is chal. Now, mino le l'Rav ha. How does Rav know that we don't apply this accidental exemption by gittin, where we do apply it by the requirements to go and support his wife? So how does Rav know this? So the Gemara is going to give a following suggestion. If you're going to tell me it's from the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Gittin, where it says, Harei Zagitech, a man says to his wife, this will be your get, in lo bossi mikan biat shnei masor chodesh, if I don't return within 12 months' time, then this will be a get. Now, if he comes back within that 12 months of time, it's not a get. If he doesn't come back within that 12 months of time, so it is a get. What happens if he dies? Umeis besoch shneim osor chodesh. He dies 6 months later. So he doesn't come back because he's dead. So he doesn't come back within the 12-month period of time. So the Mishnah in Gittin says, eino get. It is not a get. In other words, it seems to be an unavoidable circumstance that he doesn't come back. But it's because he died. Meis, it's only because he died and there's no get achamisa. Meis, who the eino get? In that situation, it's not a get. Ho-chola, if the husband was sick, and that's why he didn't come back, even though it's unavoidable, he's in the ICU someplace, and that's why he didn't come back, so then it is a valid get. It's only death, because ain't get achamisa, so That's why the get didn't take effect, because you can't get a get after you're dead. But if you didn't fulfill the tenai because of an extenuating circumstances, oh, that's Rava's din, then in fact, the get is schal. Gemara says, no. The Dilma may be, the Gemara in Gittin is coming to teach us, that if the guy got sick, it's also not considered a get. Extenuating circumstances, unavoidable situation, an onus. So it isn't as if he didn't come back intentionally, and since he's unfortunately unable to come back, it nullifies the whole get. The purpose why he didn't say chola, it would be a big chiddush, Rashi says, to say chola. If he's sick and it's not called a get, so certainly if he's dead, it's not going to be called a get. So no, that was the whole chiddush. He wanted to tell us that there is ein get achamisa. He gufo kol mashul on the ein get li achamisa. He wanted to teach us this din, that you can't have a get after misa. But also, if he doesn't come back because of extenuating circumstances, it's also not going to be a get. Morris says, but wait a second. If you want to teach us the din, the ein get l'achamisa, ein get l'achamisa was already taught. Hatana l'reisha. The first part of that Mishnah says as follows. Harei ze'agitech, the man says to his wife, this will be your get imati. He was shrib me'ra, Rashi says he's on his deathbed, and for whatever the reason, doesn't want his wife to go and become a widow. He'd rather she be divorced. Again, maybe there was a yibum concern here, and he says it's better for you to be divorced. So he says, I want this to be your get, but it only takes effect after I die. Or, Hareza Gitech Mecholizeh. He says, if I die from this illness, then this will be your get. Or, Hareza Gitech Liachamiso. This get takes effect when I die. So, in all of these situations, the Mishnah in Gittin tells us, Lo Amar Klum. He didn't say anything because, ain't get Achamisa. The get can't take effect after the guy's dead. She's a widow. So, we already learned this. So, how can it be that the earlier Mishnah in Gittin is telling us the same thing? Mustn't it be that it's telling us chola is not going to be considered an unavoidable circumstance? Someone says, no, that's not correct. Duma liafuke mi the rabbi saying, it has to tell it to us by the chola case, because it wants to teach us that en get achamisa laafuke mi the rabbi saying, from the rabbis, the Tanya, we have a bride that says, rabbi saying, hi tirua linase. The rabbis allowed her to get married in this situation where he says, hareze gitech. Now, why is that? Amrina and Man Rabbi Sein. Who are those rabbis, first of all? So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, this is Beidina the Show Mishla. This famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah that tells us that originally they had prohibited the oil of Nachrum, just like we have prohibitions against the wine of Anachri, the pas of Anachri. So they had made a prohibition against the oil of Anachri, but that was too difficult for the people to tolerate, and therefore the Beis Din ultimately was Matir, the oil. In any event, those Rabbanim are the ones that were in disagreement over here, who say that they were matir, the woman to marry. They said that this was a valid get. Why? Because Sabri look at Rabbi Yossi, they held like Rabbi Yossi, that the Omar, Rabbi Yossi had said, Zmano shel shtar mochiach alav, because the get wrote a date in it, and the date in the get was while the husband was still alive. And therefore he writes, Harei ze gitech micholi ze, or emati, or le'achamisa, it's not after death, it's ain get li'achamisa in this situation, because the date on the get was before the death. So these rabbis hold like Rav Yossi, that says that the date on the shtar, the date on the get, is going to determine that it was given before Misa, and therefore they disagree with the opinion that says, lo amar klum. So we're still stuck. We don't have any source for Rava to say that the din by Gittin is that if there's an unavoidable circumstance, there's an extenuating circumstance, some sort of an onus, that nullifies the get. So the Gemara says, there is a place. Velo Misefa, keep on reading that Mishnah. It says later in that Mishnah the following. If the person gives a get and he says, me akshav, it should go into effect. From right now when I'm alive, it should go into effect. If I don't return him, and it says, b'feirish de'umeis b'soch shnei mas chodesh, he dies within the 12-month period of time, hareiz a get. So here is exactly it. He died. Now, that's an unavoidable circumstance. That's something that is an onus. So, yet we see that it's a get. So, clearly, this is where Rava learned it from, that even though there's an onus, even though there's an unavoidable circumstance, that doesn't nullify the tonight. Death, it certainly is an unavoidable circumstance as you can have, and yet we see that this is a valid get. So, Tudu Gemara says, Mace, in the case of Mace, it's a valid get. The same thing would apply if he got sick. Even though that's an unavoidable circumstance, just like Mace, nevertheless, it doesn't void the Tanai, and this is a valid get. That's exactly what Rava said. Rava says, not necessarily so. This can't be the source of Rava. Dilma, maybe the halacha is Mace Davka. It's only by Mace. Why would Mace be different than Chala? because the lo nichole the tipol kame yavam. Again, we pointed out a person specifically wanted this get to take effect in order that his wife shouldn't fall into yibam. Maybe his brother is a real terrible guy and he doesn't want to have to marry him, or maybe the brother lives far away, or maybe the brother is a 5-year-old kid and she's going to have to wait till he becomes a gadol and she's going to be unable to be married for 8 years. That's a long time. So for whatever the reason, by mace, that's only there that we allow the get to take effect. But because the lo nichole the tipol kame yavam. But in the case of chala, maybe the din is that we do take into account the fact that it's an unavoidable circumstance, an accident, and extenuating circumstances, and therefore the get is not a get. So actually, we have no source for Rava. So the Gemara says, you're right. Let's try another source. Elameha. The ha'ud yamalahu, it's on this source. A person once said to people that were around over there, if I don't come back, ilo asina mikan, if I don't come back to here within 30 days, let this get be a valid get to my wife, Levi Gitta. And now, on day number 30, right before the Shkia, on day number 30, also, Bisov Tlosin Yom, he comes back at the end of 30 days, and he's on the other side of the river. His home city is on the other side of a river, and he's stuck on the other side of the river, Upaske Mabra, and he can't get across the river because the ferry has not come back yet. The ferry's on his wife's side of the river, and he's stuck on the other side. There's 10 minutes till the Shkia. And he says, Chazul da'asai, look, I'm here. The get should be nullified. Amar Shmuel said, Lav Shmei Masya, that's not called returning. You didn't return to the city, so the get is a valid get. This is as unavoidable a circumstance as possible. He's yelling, I'm here, I'm back. So you see, this is Rava's source that, in fact, an unavoidable circumstance doesn't nullify the get. It says, no, that's also not correct, because v'dilma onso de shchiach shiny. This is an expected potential accident. He should have known about this. He should have said, if I come back on day 30 and the ferry's not here, you should know that as long as I'm within yelling distance of the city, that's called coming back. Because he should know that the ferry is always going to be on one side of the river, the other side of the river. There's one ferry going back and forth, and it could cause this problem. This is an onus that is shchiach. This is a highly likely extenuating circumstances, and he should have mentioned it. From the fact that he didn't mention it, the kivan the boy lelasnuye veloaste, he should have said, except if the ferry is not there, then my being on this side of the river is good enough. So since he didn't say that, ihu the opposite anavshi, so he caused it upon himself. So therefore, it's only in this situation where the extenuating circumstances was expected, and it's not really extenuating circumstances. But maybe taka, if it's a real extenuating circumstance, then it would nullify the get. So again, we have no source for Rava. And the Gemara concludes and says, you're right, Rava has no source, but it's a Svara. Ela Rava, he has no source, but Svara dinafshe komar. He's saying over his own thought in this area, which is a brilliant idea. And he says, Mishum tsnuos and Mishum perutzos. It's because there are certain women that are very tsnua that we have to make this Gezeira by getting that we don't take into account extenuating circumstances, and it's because the women that are prutzos, so they are also going to be the reason why we don't take into account extenuating circumstances by a get. Now, why? What does this mean? So, Mishum Tznuos, because of those women that are very, very pious women, they're very, very righteous women, they're very Tznua, and you know what they're going to say? The husband didn't come back, and they're going to be concerned, well, maybe he didn't come back because of an extenuating circumstance, and I really am not allowed to get married. The Amris, if you're going to go and say, law have a get, that it's not a get if the husband was prevented by extenuating circumstances coming back, and we turn to Gimel and Aleph, this tsanua woman is going to say, zimnim de lo anis. In fact, he might not have come back because of an extenuating circumstance, but the savra de anis. But she's going to be worried that maybe it was an extenuating circumstance, and really she's not divorced. And therefore, umi agna v'yosva, because of her righteousness, because of her extreme piety, she's going to take upon herself a chumrah that is not halachically mandated. But since she's such a pious woman, she says, I'm not getting married. There's a chance of an ashes ish. Maybe the reason he didn't come back is because of extenuating circumstances, just that we don't know about it. And therefore, she's going to end up being an aguna, and she's going to sit there not getting married. This guy really ran away, and he didn't come back because he wanted to divorce her, and he gave her a get. But she's not going to think, maybe he's in prison someplace and it's extenuating circumstances, and therefore, in this situation, she's going to take upon herself an extra chumrah, which is not necessary. So therefore, Rava said, let's not allow extenuating circumstances to be considered, so this tsanua woman will not be hurt. And likewise, the prutzos. Now, the prutzos are either that they're really prutzos, as the Mefarshim point out, that she's lying, and that she knows this is an extenuating circumstances, but nobody else does, and therefore, She's going to deny that it's an extenuating circumstance, and she's going to accept the divorce, even though it's not real. And therefore, that's one reason why the court proves this. Others explain, no, it's just as opposed to the tznuos, these are the regular women that aren't so pious. Or mishum prutzos, these women, the amis lo hevli gita, if you tell them that if they're extenuating circumstances, it's not a get, you know what they're going to say? There may really have been extenuating circumstances, even though the onus, however, the amis lo onus, they're going to say that no, there wasn't a onus, and therefore I'm really divorced. The oslo minseva, she's going to go get married, v'nim so get batel, and it's going to turn out that if the get really was not a true get, because we find out that there was extenuating circumstances, so the get is batel, and her marriage to this other guy is sham, u'baneh mamzerim, and the children will be mamzerim. So therefore the rabbi said, because of the tznuos and the prutzos, Rava said, let's get rid of this concept of extenuating circumstances, and we just ignore it. And whether there are or there aren't extenuating circumstances, the person didn't come back, so whether it was because he didn't want to come back or because there were extenuating circumstances, the get is a valid get. So Mark questions this and says, okay, it's a great idea, Rava. You're saying, let's not accept extenuating circumstances. But if extenuating circumstances are really the din, so then if there are extenuating circumstances, so then she's not really divorced. So how can you say that we ignore the extenuating circumstances because of the prutzos and the tznuos? You're allowing an eishes ish to be matali olam. How do you allow that? Someone says, yes, we allow that in. Because called the Mekadesh, Adaita the Rabbanu Mekadesh. When a person gets married, he says, Harei at Mekudesh Asli B'tamazu, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. It's all based upon what the rabbis want. And therefore, Adaita the Rabbanu Mekadesh, and therefore, V'Afkinu Rabbanu L'Kidushe Mineh. The rabbis have the right to say that this marriage never existed. We're annulling this marriage. And therefore, we're allowed to say that this get is a valid get, because we're saying the marriage is not a valid marriage, and therefore there is no problem that they're mattering an eishes ish liolam. They're saying that she's not an eishes ish. So that Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina Ravashi, that's great." Tenach Kadesh Makas, but we had this in Gemara Yevamos as well. That works out well if he gave her a ring, if he gave her kesef, and he said, "With this ring, with this money, you're going to come and become my wife," because of hefker based in hefker, so they can say that that doesn't belong to you. What about, however, Kadesh Bivia, Michael Neymar, if they got married via relations? Again, Isha Nikdes Bekesim Shtar Bia, we said this many times, this would be the start of the Gemara in Kiddushin, that a woman can be married via either getting monetary value, a kesef, or a ring, or she get a shtar, that shtar effectuates the marriage, or by having relations. Now, the rabbi said, don't do that. The latter way of getting married by relations is not something that's sanctioned by the rabbis, and they used to give malchus to people that did this, but in any event, if the man married her via having relations with her, so then how do you retract that? Kadesh Bevia, Michael and Amar, you can't say Vafkinu Rabbanu L'Kedushin Mineh, because Hefker based in Hefker, so how are you going to say in that situation that the Kedushin are going to be uprooted retroactively, that we now don't have to worry about this extenuating circumstances making the get into not a good get? So Rav Ashi says, no, Shavua Rabbanu L'Bi'ilaso B'ilaznos. Now the rabbis have the right also to go and say that that Kiddushin that he did via Bia was not Kiddushin, but in fact it was a Bilas Znus, and therefore they're not really married, and therefore we don't have to be concerned over here that the woman is in fact married, and now this get, which really is not a get because of the extenuating circumstances, cancels the get that this Mamatring and Ashes Ish Li Alma to the rest of the world. Well, with this we conclude our first foray into Ksubos with Daf Beis, and Mitzvah Shem will pick up over here tomorrow with Daf Gimel. I hope people enjoy this new Masechta and have success in learning it.